Merry Christmas to you all, those who are listening in on this pre-recorded service, and welcome as well. And we pray that this may be a part of your celebration of Lord Jesus Christ's birth. For opening passage, I'm going to read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's open in prayer. O Lord, our great God, God the Father, God the Son of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you through that glorious Son, Jesus Christ, and we bring to you our praise and our worship, for you, Lord, deserve all praise and worship, glory and honor. And Heavenly Father, we then bless your name, and we pray that your Spirit would dwell in our hearts, that we might bring to you the praise and the worship that you so deserve. We pray that you bless us, O Lord, even as we participate in this online service in a way, online worship in a way. We pray, Heavenly Father, that despite the circumstances in which we find ourselves, that you would nevertheless unite our hearts together in the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit, and that we might all together learn from your word, and that we might glorify you, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing two songs together, and we're going to sing hymn number 340, Angels from the Realms of Glory. And then immediately following that, we'll sing hymn number 338 in the Psalter hymnals, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night. I invite you to stand and sing. You can use the words on your screen.
Glory, 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 glory
I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, one of the gospel accounts of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to simply say it's a story of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a story, but it's more than just a story. It's a historical account of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Let's come into God in prayer again. O merciful, glorious, and great God, we thank you and praise you, O Lord, for this wonderful account of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he has come to earth, and all these historical details are laid out before us so that we might know, that we might believe, that we might put our trust in Jesus Christ who has come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he has taken upon himself our body, our bodies with all its troubles, its diseases, and aches and pains, and all the situations which you find yourself on earth. He experienced these things. He experienced conditions like unto to the things which we go through as well. We thank you, Heavenly Father, then, that we might know that we have such a mediator, such a high priest, who has been in contact, who has touched us, who knows us, who has lived among us. And so that in all the troubles that we go through, we might know that he's fully able to sympathize with us. He has entered into our lives here on earth. And we thank you that he is yet the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God in the flesh, the holiness of God. All, all manifested in the decisions that he made each day, the motivations that were in his heart as he resisted temptations, as he obeyed his father and his mother and his heavenly father and the will that you set before him to do, as he endured suffering, learning obedience. We know, Heavenly Father, that this was your law fulfilled in the flesh for us, righteousness of God, the holiness of God in our skin. And Heavenly Father, we then know that we can only come to you through him, who is the righteousness, the wisdom, and the justice of God. And it all worked out for us in Calvary. We thank you that there, your righteousness and your peace and your mercy and your love all converged in our Lord Jesus Christ, the offering he had given in himself for our sins. We confess, O Father, that we do not deserve such love. We confess, O Heavenly Father, that apart from Jesus Christ, we are unrighteous and we have no way in which coming we may come to you. We thank you that your love is poured out to us through him. We pray that our faith in him might be built up and strengthened. We pray that as we live in this world, that you would encourage us and strengthen us in our trust in Jesus Christ, that we might live out of the Spirit's power, out of his Christ living within us, out of the union that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be known in us, they might be seen in us, that there might be a witness of him even in this world in which we live, and so that his light might shine brightly even here. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that through him we may come before you, that we may bring praise and worship that is pleasing to you through this Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you bless our time of worship, our time of looking at your word together. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you be glorified through this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing together hymn number 336 before we open up God's word again and consider what it says. Hymn 336 in the Psalter hymnals, "How Bright Appears the Morning Star," and I invite you to stand again as we sing. For a scripture reading, this service we're going to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Let us hear God's holy and inspired, infallible, and errant word. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. I want to focus in with you on verse 9. I'll read that again. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have heard of many comparisons of the year 2020 to other years. You've probably heard, maybe you said things like, if we could think of some of the worst things that would happen and pile them all together, that would be the year 2020. Of course, there's exaggeration in that. But nevertheless, it has been a year unlike any other year the last decades. Few people among us and in our who live nowadays have been through such a series of disruptive events in their personal lives and in society as in this year. Some families, some friends are split apart by differences concerning COVID-19 and governmental policy. It's had its devastating effect on relationships, just in terms of personal views, even in churches and among businesses and friendships and families. And think of the effects, financial effects, the economic effects, the small businesses that have been shut down. Many families and singles are financially struggling. And then there's many people who are lonely. The emotional, the psychological a toll that this has taken on people. Many people are dealing with depression and despair concerning the future, anxiety also over the possibility of contracting COVID-19. It's been reported that 72% of U.S. adults in the last month report serious psychological distress during both of the COVID-19 waves. Highest causes for this distress was contracting COVID-19, the worry of getting COVID-19, and then also, along with that cause, the pandemic effects on employment, the worry of being unemployed or actually being unemployed and the stress that has caused. Among the symptoms are reoccurring nightmares, lack of motivation, trouble and hardship in home relationships, and a bleak outlook on the future. These things are afflicting people today. And that's to say nothing of the deep rifts in society, even violence in society, and the politicizing of so many issues. Psalm 23 speaks of the valley of the shadow of death. And perhaps some have even been going through that in these times. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, in that blissful, wholesome paradise, God said that they brought in death and hatred and violence. As a result of their fall, God pronounced curses upon their rebellion against Him. And in these curses, we see there's enmity that is brought. There's pain in bringing forth life for the women. There's disharmony between man and wife. And for the man, there's a sweaty toil. There's a thorns and thistles. Of course, both men and women partake in those curses, but less predominantly upon men, those some of those curses, and upon the women. We can see that, the effects of that in our lives. You know, the world in which we're living, we feel it. For the believer, it is through many tribulations that we enter into the kingdom of God. The apostle said so. And for everyone, the world is full of danger and darkness and death. That is not everything there is to consider when we are considering even the present conditions of the year 2020. The Apostle John spoke to Christians and churches that were dealing with persecution coming from the world, and then also they were dealing with false teachings within the church. And his concern as an aged apostle for this early church is that they would know, that they'd be certain of certain things, that they would not sin and deny their faith, and that their joy might be full. He challenges them and us to consider whether we are indeed children of God. Those who are of God acknowledge that they sin. And they turn to God, to Christ, the propitiation for our sin. And they do not love the world and the things of the world. They will not deny Him. And they do not hate their brother, but they love one another. And so they abide in God. But there are those who are coming into the fellowship of these churches and who are unsettling them in their faith and their loyalty to God and His Word. They were teaching things that were heresy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That this Jesus is not, after all, the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah. Specifically, what they're teaching about is that Christ had not come in the flesh into the world, in this world. They had not actually come in the flesh, in the human body. Now think about that, dear friends, brothers and sisters. What would that mean? If the incarnation did not happen, we would have no mediator between God and man, between God and us. The one who was to be anointed, see in the Old Testament, he must be taken from our brethren, from among us. He must be like us, but without sin. He must be of the seed of Abraham and of the line of David. He must be of the seed of the woman. He must be born into this world. He must wear our clothes. He must experience the tensions in our homes and yet be without sin, be perfect. He must live and endure and yet not sin so that he might represent us fully, completely, and effectively before God. And he must then lay down his life on the altar of God's justice. He must be chastised for our sins. The stripes that we deserve, the stripes of God's judgment, the stripes of the curse must be laid on him for our iniquities. His flesh he must give for the life of the world, and his body must lay in the grave. He must come to actual death. And in his body, he must rise from the grave, or our faith is in vain. If Christ had not come in the flesh, we would remain in our sin. We would remain guilty before God. And the world, in its darkness and alienation and in its fearful uncertainty, would simply then be an omen of much more terrible things to come. It would just be a signal that there's a much worse realities in store for us. In our sufferings, God would remain detached from us, aloof, apathetic, and there'd be nothing to expect from him except his anger and his wrath. And what's more, all that God had said up to that point, all that he had said in the Old Testament would have failed, and he would then be, after it all, untrue. John, Apostle John, declares to them, and God declares to us through his inspired words, which live on today by the Spirit, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Love in John's epistle is anything but just a feeling. It is the goodwill in the heart in action. It's carried out by action, by doing something. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be made his children. A love that John commands the Christians of the churches to express is not just a love with words, but a love with deeds. Let us love not just with word, but in deeds. Let us lay down our lives. Let us lay down our things for the brethren. And so here, the prototype of love, the great pattern, the example of love, God's love has been manifested toward us, or even better translated, God's love has been manifested among us here.
It can be clearly seen with our eyes and heard with our ears. It's not just a story or the figment of someone's imagination. No, there has been a manifestation of this in this world. God has sent his Son into this world.
The extent of his love is the fact that it was his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. If you got a gift today on Christmas Day and you open it up, and as you do so, you look at this, maybe a video camera, a camcorder. You turn it around and you see, oh, here's the door. You open it up and you can slide the videotapes in here. And you're looking at it sort of curiously. Okay, this is a nice something or other. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And the person who gives it to you says, oh, that. You know, I almost forgot I'd even wrapped it. That's right. A couple weeks ago, I was trying to think what to give to you, and I just saw that there and the back of my workbench, and I decided I just wrapped it up and give to you. I hope you can use it. You'd be sort of indifferent towards it. Is that love? But maybe, as you open it up, that person, maybe your uncle, says to you, I've been holding on to that for years. And those tapes and that video camera, the tapes of your grandfather, the last remaining memories we have of him, they're so dear to us. They're dear to me, but I thought you should have it. You see, then you see love. And why do you see love in what he's doing for you? Because it comes from his heart. And it's precious. And it's a sacrifice of him that gives it to you. And so also here, the greatest manifestation of God's love that he could give is his only begotten Son. Now that word only begotten here, some have translated it as unique. But it's not simply about that. It's the reason why he's unique. It's that the fact that he is the only one and he's begotten of the Father. It's a term that's used of the only son of the widow of Nain who died. She's precious. She's his only hope in this world. The word was loaded with meaning by the fact that it's translated by a couple. This Greek word is used to translate a number of Hebrew words and ideas in the Old Testament. And we see that it conveys that loaded sense in the New Testament. There's the idea of Psalm 2, verse 7, where the Septuagint translates this word as well. There's God the Father says of Christ, you are my Son, and today I have begotten you. And of course, God the Father says that in eternity, and so we know then that God is eternally begetting his Son. This is not speaking of Christ coming into this world here. This is speaking of God the Father and his relationship to his Son. And how near and dear to him the Son is. It's not describing the origin of the Son, for the Son is of God. He always has being eternally. He always has deity. But this describes the relationship of the Father to the Son. Not only does it mean then being the only child of the Father, but also then being the precious and the beloved Son of the Father. In the book of Hebrews 11, this word is used of Abraham and is offering up his only son Isaac. Until God stopped him. And the emphasis is that by faith, Abraham was ready to give up that which was so precious to him. In those most
those most famous words of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." We see it there too. It's a demonstration of the Father's sacrificial love that he had for, in which he gave his Son. Now, clearly, that he loved his Son. His Son was precious to him, and so he gave him. That's the love of God to the world. Preciousness of the Son is conveyed in many occasions in Christ's life, when the Father said of Christ to those who were around Christ, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son." And so the Father is giving his heart, as it were, to the world, to sinners. "Here is my Son, whom I love." John says, this is the manifestation of the Father's love. The Son comes from the bosom of the Father. Father delivers him to this world. That's the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the details of that incarnation of Christ becoming flesh, we think of as a Christmas story. And sometimes those details, the way that we might frame them, might actually numb us to what happened. We think of perhaps these flighty angels and these friendly shepherds and Mary so tender and so mild and Joseph. And sometimes people even flip it with those details, make jokes about it. But indeed, these are actual historical figures who witnessed what happened. And these details, these figures, are not meant by God to sentimentalize the reality, to romanticize a story, and certainly not then to steal the glory of the reality that was actually happening before their eyes. Yes, rather, those details paint what was happening for us. The fact that it was in a stable shows to us the depth of the Savior's grace in humiliating himself. Those shepherds would be like factory workers today in their oil-smeared clothes coming to a dignitary's award ceremony, being invited to come. These details are not to steal the glory, but rather to reveal the reality and what happened. What happened in that stinky stable? The eternal Son of God came to earth as a baby. As a man. This is the love of God for this dying world. God the Son, took on himself our flesh. God's Son has come here. What a mystery. What an amazing, glorious reality that is. This is the manifestation of the Father's love. And the Apostle John says, it is so that we might live through him. We might live through him. It brings to my mind the words of the Gettys. How deep, or the Townends, I forget which one. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. A father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. What you need to recognize is that God is saying that apart from his great gift of his Son, there is no way for you to truly live. This is so that you might live. He has done this so that you might live through him.
And so come to him, believe in him, and you shall live, and you shall have it abundantly. Death. Death is the other reality. It is so that you might live. It's not saying that automatically everyone will live in this world. This place is set in such a way, but John says that the reality is held out for all those who believe in him. Death is the other reality. And death is separation from God. It's living under the guilt of your sin, never escaping the pang of regret or the condemnation from God that awaits those who die in their sin. Death is now living apart from God, who is life and blessing. Death is alienation and loneliness and separation and fear and bondage to sin. And the world is full of it. And our hearts and lives and experiences are full of it apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you be saved from this world and its judgment or your own judgment after your final moments here? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. You shall be saved. You shall live through him, through this gift, through the Father's love. Christ has actually come into this world for that reason. For that reason. Actually, he has. Words lose meaning when they are abused. Just think of today, how often people, us, maybe you, say that word literally. It's a fad word. Literally used to mean that it was when people would otherwise think you are speaking figuratively. But now, whenever we want people to believe what we are saying, we say, well, literally, that happened. Well, Christ really, actually, and literally came into this world. It's not just a story. So some teachers are those early Christians who are telling Christians, we're telling these believers, Christ just appeared to take on the flesh. Those details that we read of in Luke chapter 2, and there's the shepherds and the stable, no room for them in the inn. Part of the story. And so it might be presented to us today as well, as a nice story. It was as if, it's as if Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit within her. Well, Mary wasn't an actual virgin. That's impossible. Well, it would be impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And that is actually what happened. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh. He came as one of us and was born as a baby, laid in the manger. As a baby there, he lived, he cried, and he was fed, and he grew as a child. And he is the Savior of all who look to him. Apostle John says God's love was manifested among us. John says in chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That's speaking of Jesus there. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He said, Jesus Christ is the life. You know him. You have life through him. Are you saying, if you don't believe this, that the apostles were liars?
And you got to erase historical records for historical witnesses concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the apostles, the New Testament scriptures which bore witness to him. And you've got to write off Jesus Christ, whoever he was, as a lunatic. He has come for you, for your salvation, so that your sins might be washed away and that you might live in him. He has come into the world so that you might know that you are not alone in this world. Though as a society we have become so fragmented, believe in Christ. You know your God is actually with you. So much so that he has come here and lived among you, so that you might live in him and through him. Believe in Christ. You know that the Lord has entered into your loneliness, into your battle with despair, into the challenge of hopelessness and the ache of disappointment. And he is at God's right hand, so that in him you might live, and you can continue to live in him. Continue on in your living then, in him. Finding your life in him, praying to him, having your fellowship with him in prayer, in his word, in worship. Reading of him in the scripture so that you might learn of him and know him. He is a Savior who will open your heart and your mind and your life to a new life. This life, Apostle John would tell us, is not separated from love. Love knits us together. It brings together that which is separated by death, by hatred, by hostility, by alienation. Loving God and loving one another. That's what God calls us to and brings us to. Lest the darkness and death and hostility of the world will separate us otherwise. Let us be stitched together in love as we live in him and as our souls are stitched and mended and healed through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and the blessed Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this glorious message, this glorious good news that is not just a story, is not just something to give us momentary cheerfulness, but is there to give us a joy that will be full, that no one can take from us, that will survive through pain and loss, and even through death. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these glorious truths. How is it that you should have such love that you would even come and live among us and take our sins upon you? We praise you, O blessed God. And we loved you. We love you, for you have loved us first. We pray that we might live in that love, and we might have that life abundantly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing in response hymn number 331 in the Psalter Hymnals. It's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
the blessing of our God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Doxology is glory to God.
Thank you.